football on Off the Ball.
I think Miguel Arteta should be manager this season. I think he's been brilliant, and I realise he rubs people up the wrong way, but as an Arsenal fan, I love it. I don't want, you know, United fans and Liverpool fans and Chelsea fans to be saying, really love your manager, very charismatic. They all hate him, and I like it. I absolutely love it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
This is News Talk.
It's time to turn our attention to the rugby, because the Six Nations is back this weekend. Ireland in action against Wales in Belfast on Saturday evening at 6:30. And I'm very happy to say that we have Fiona Hayes with us on the line. Fiona, how are you keeping?
I'm good, Owen. Looking forward to the weekend of rugby now. Provinces playing, and obviously the Women's Six Nations as well. So jam-packed.
Yeah, on the Six Nations front, it's kind of hard to figure out whether or not the break week came at a perfect time for Ireland or a bad time for Ireland, because I presume after the French game, they would have loved nothing more than to get straight back out there the following week and right the wrongs of that performance in Clermont. But they've had to wait 2 full weeks to do that.
Yeah, you know what, Owen, I think it's good for the bodies to rest for that week. Obviously, your mind is ready and you want to go, but the girls have played, you know, 3 games. They had England away and then France away, obviously, the last game. So I feel like that the week off probably has stood to them, even though at the time when you're talking to them, when they came back from France on the Sunday, I met a few of them up at the AIL finals. They were just itching to go and get out and wrong those rights. But look, I feel like they needed to go review things and see where it really went wrong, because you can go in a week and it's jam-packed, but when you have that down week, I think it gives you time to really look at the analysis and I suppose really look at yourself from a standpoint of being in a game just before half-time to that final score and how it finished.
Yeah, so what is the big takeaway from that then, Fiona? Because sure, they had 3 tries chalked off in that first half, but did they kind of have to look at themselves as to why they were chalked off, or do you just kind of write them off straight away and say that was bad luck, let's not get too hung up on what actually wasn't awarded in that first half?
Absolutely not, Owen. As a coach, they have to look at themselves, and they will have done. I mean, after it, anybody that's played under me knows that the new law changed that you get held up over the line, as well as missing out the score, I'm on the sideline pulling my hair out. Mm-hmm. There's no excuses when it comes to that area. You've got to really nail the detail on those, I suppose, tight carries, how low you are, and obviously the recycle. So they'll be frustrated with that. I know they've done a lot of work around that against France in those carries, those big carries into contact. But unfortunately, I suppose on game day, it just didn't happen for them. But they do have to go back and look at their footwork in that contact area, maybe going off on their own, really trying to wait for that support to get there. That would have been somewhere that they'll focus on. And the thing about international rugby, it's very, very cruel, but also you probably won't see the mistakes next in the next game against Wales, because you have time to fix it. But when you're at that high performance, high level, it's frustrating after the game, but you will see a much improved performance, I think.
So what went wrong in that second half for Ireland against France?
I feel like it's yes, I think France probably upped it another gear and you have to take your hat off to them, but for me, and I've said this before, you obviously want a bench to come on and make an impact. I felt around that 50-55 minute mark, there were a lot of changes and some of the people that came off were playing absolutely out of their skin. And I just feel like when you're in that level of a game, you're really going hard. It was very, very close on the scoreboard. I think I would have probably let things settle for another 15 minutes. Look, you know, everyone can argue the modern day of rugby, around that 50 minute mark, you should be able to put on the bench. And we have seen the Irish bench make an impact. It's just that game was so, so physical to be able to come on and I suppose get to that level from when you get a step foot onto the pitch is a very, very very hard thing to do. And there was a raft of changes, and I just felt like France upped it, and there was a slight drop in Ireland in the physicality. Could also mean other people were tiring around the place, but there was people that I felt like were having the game of their lives that went off. And look, when France score against you and you look at that first half and how they performed, there's probably a slight psychological thing there as well that's thinking we did have our chance and it's going to be very, very hard to crawl this back. Even there were a couple of moments, even Dana's kick that for posts, I think that would have put him in maybe within four or three. When that goes wrong, when you miss a kick on the full, you can see the heads drop when there's a couple of missed tackles, and that's all part of that, and they will learn from this and deal with that pressure, because let me tell you, playing in France, and I've said it before, is so, so hard. That crowd are crazy. And I think going in the second half, when there was a lot more errors in Ireland's game, and even towards the tail end of that first half, you can hear the crowd getting louder and louder, and that also will lift France.
The replacements thing is a really interesting talking point. Do we think that maybe Scott Beaman is a little bit too prescribed in what he does in terms of his substitutions in game? Because you could maybe make the case that he war-gamed what would happen in the match against France, had laid out when he's going to make the substitutions, who the replacements are going to be, and just kind of follow that plan as opposed to relying on instinct and seeing how the flow of the game is actually developing.
Do you know what? I mean, he's a top level coach, Owen, so maybe not. Maybe he saw something in those players that he just wanted to freshen up. Maybe the girls on the bench had been absolutely itching to go. It's just my personal opinion when I looked at it. And I'll give you examples. I thought Dorothy Wall was having the game of her life. I thought Cliona Maloney. I think we could have dragged another 10 minutes out of her. She was absolutely everywhere. In saying that, the bench could have come on, and that could have been the turning point of a game. So that's your job as a coach to make those decisions. But for me, the girls that were playing, I thought they were on a different level, and they hadn't played at that high intensity. And for maybe 50, 55 minutes, it was too early for me. If you got them over the 60, 65 minute mark, I think the bench could have sprung on and made that impact. But on the other hand, you're high performance, you're at an international level, people that are coming on in general will add to the game, and it's not that they didn't. I just felt that the French smelt a little bit of blood when there was a couple of errors and probably a couple of soak tackles as well went in. We were so physical in that first half. When they started to soak tackles, when they started to get over the gain line and get that quick ball, France were like, yes, we're on top here, and they really, really went after Ireland.
Is there a question as well of Ireland's depth at the moment? And I don't necessarily mean that with regards to quality and the standard of player that are coming off the bench, for example. I mean it more so in terms of how exposed all 23 players are to top level test rugby at this stage. That sure, you look at the 23 and you see what every person and those eight replacements can actually contribute. But are they going to be eight game changers? Are they going to be eight test match animals? Like, granted, that's probably fanciful to hope that every single player in the squad is of that level. But I wonder often if the introduction of those players is not necessarily weakening the team on paper, but in terms of what they're actually exposed to as individuals after just one, two games of the Six Nations.
Yeah, and look, I felt like in the previous games, the bench had come on and made a huge impact. And certainly I in that England game in particular, I thought people came on and really raised that level. But it's that question that you go back to as well, Owen. Like, we're talking about Scott Beaman, and, you know, him changing people at 55 minutes is probably him saying, I'm trying to get these girls more minutes. And he can't change the starting team. Maybe he's come to the realisation with the World Cup in a couple of years, 3 years time or whatever, that he's really going to focus on getting the depth in the squad, getting most players. If you're on the bench, you're getting 25 minutes, you're not coming on for 10, 8 minutes. Now, that has changed, obviously. When I would have been playing, it would have been very short time. You would have absolutely flogged a dead horse on the pitch, and you might come on for 4 or 5 minutes. And there probably was a big difference sometimes between the bench and the girls. I feel like they have nailed it in camp. There is a lot of competition. He's obviously stuck with certain players as line of callers and different thing, but you can see that when girls get a chance, they're trying to make an impact. It's just, I suppose, that one game, when the way I'm looking at it is they probably, the physicality, the hits, the level, it was very hard for them to come off a bench and go straight into that.
When it comes to this weekend then, and the Welsh challenge, Ireland comfortably beat Wales last year in Newport, 40 points to 14 was the final scoreline. And I think at this stage, Fiona, there's an expectation on Ireland to win these last two games. But we must remember that Ireland haven't won three games in the competition since 2020. We kind of forget that, you know, obviously England and France have been a challenge for them, but they haven't ran the table when it comes to the other three teams. They've generally beaten two of them and then lost the other one. So it's not just about beating Wales this weekend, it's about beating Wales and Scotland. And obviously that huge occasion at the Aviva Stadium coming down the tracks makes the second of those super important, I guess.
Yeah, Owen, and you know, as well as that, a lot of people I'm chatting to that kind of are just watching women's rugby would say, but sure, they finished third the last couple of years, or they finished third before recently. You know, this, you're right, it is different. They haven't beaten all, there hasn't been a clear, this is the third best team in the Six Nations, because there's been a couple of losses that have given Ireland, with other teams that have given Ireland that that spot of third and qualifying for the World Cup as well previously. So look, I think that for internally they'll be talking about this, that they have to kick on. And at the start of the season, I think you would have been saying we have to kick on and beat one or first or second, England or France, probably really focusing on that France game after that World Cup qualifier. But I would imagine they've kind of turned it around now and say, look, we can establish ourselves going into the next Six Nations, going into those internationals in September, October. Let's establish ourselves as the third best team in the Six Nations, and really, I suppose, hammer, like they'll be looking to really go after the last two teams, because performance has to come up, and it has in patches, and they'll be looking for that 80 minute performance. And if they can do that, I think they could beat both Wales and Scotland well, but they will have to have an 80 minute performance.
Yeah, the home sort of crowd aspect in this is a big one. They're obviously moving the team around the country at the moment. They've played in the Dexcom Stadium already. A record of 9,206 people at that game, a record for an Ireland women's home rugby union match. Belfast, I'm sure people will show up in their numbers. And we now know that over 25,000 tickets have been sold for the final day out at the Aviva Stadium. So one way or the other, that's going to be the positive story from this, is that big date at the Aviva. So get the job done this weekend, and you can already sense the anticipation going into round five.
Yeah, absolutely. And there will be a little bit of pressure on, I feel like, under Sean Lynn. I think he's established himself this year as the Wales coach. Obviously, he came in just before the Six Nations last year. He's coached Gloucester Women's. He's an unbelievable coach, but I'm starting to see his stamp on this Welsh team. All the girls have bought in. They have lost the games, but there is definitely something in there, and they are going to feel like that they can come over here and cause an upset, which they're very similar, that they've been playing really good rugby in patches. They got hammered by England, but if you look at it up to half time, they were actually, you know, playing excellent rugby and physically involved, which is a change for the last couple of seasons. They were a little bit lost, so I've noticed that Wales have really come up to it. But certainly I do believe that they won't, Ireland will focus on this, but that game against Scotland in the Aviva is going to be absolutely amazing. And the RFU are making a big huge thing about it as well afterwards. There's a special function for all the capped Irish women's players, where you'll find out what number cap you are, you know, like the All Blacks, say All Black number 72 or whatever. So they're unveiling that. They've done the research, and hopefully they can get that win, and, you know, everybody will be there, the older players, 25,000 people as well on top of that to support them. And, you know, the two wins would be unbelievable.
Do you know what number you are?
No, we don't. So none of us know. They've been doing the research, and Lynn Cantwell in particular has been going back through the archives. They've been getting team sheets, all these different things from, I suppose, when there wouldn't have been much media coverage. You've got to go and try and find everyone. So we'll know on Sunday week after the match. I think there's a, as I said, it's a function, and it'll be unveiled, everybody's number. I'd love an all 150 or something. Be nice.
Nice round number. It'll be a big return to the Aviva Stadium. Obviously, a big day out there. A couple of weeks ago, two Sundays ago, really, at this stage, Fiona, UL Bulls versus Blackrock College, one of the most extraordinary conclusions we've seen to an AIL final. So Katrina Finn with the 83rd minute match winning try. What was your reaction to all of that unfolding before you?
Wow, obviously I've coached the girls for the two previous seasons, so it was a bit of the pressure was off a little bit, so I was able to relax and enjoy it, but also I was absolutely over the moon for them. Oh, and it was just a game, you know, season before it as well, we won in the 83rd minute. I was thinking there is no way these girls are going to be able to pull it out of the bag again. It was an unbelievable game of rugby, and to get the three in a row like they did is just a testament to the work rate they've been doing down there quietly. You know, they're always the underdogs, and that's kind of something you're when you're outside of Dublin, sometimes you have to instill that in teams. So just watching that game and even the Mary's game afterwards, it was a brilliant day in the Aviva.
Yeah, no, it certainly was an incredible conclusion to that match. You are listening to Fiona Hayes on Wednesday Night Rugby and Off the Ball, which is with Bank of Ireland, the proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing. Fiona, we are pretty much out of time, so we'll have to catch up on men's related matters and Munster Rugby more specifically another time. Just to run the rule over what's happening this weekend for people, it is Ulster versus Stormers on Friday at 7:45 in the URC, Leinster versus the Lions on Saturday at 5:30, and then Connacht versus Munster Saturday at 7:45. So you've got Connacht in ninth place on 44 points. These are the penultimate round of fixtures, by the way. Connacht in ninth on 44 points, Ulster in eighth on 47, and Ulster have the Stormers and Glasgow in the last two fixtures, so that's going to be a tough enough run in for them. Munster in fifth on 51 points and Leinster in fourth on 53 points, so it's all really to play for in terms of that top eight. One of the big questions, and there have been a lot of big questions around Munster over the last couple of months, is the financial one, and qualifying for Europe, qualifying for the Champions Cup is an absolute must for them. But as I say, in fifth place at the moment, they'll want to get something out of that Connacht clash on Saturday evening. So plenty of rugby to look forward to this weekend. Fiona Hayes, always great to chat to you. Thanks a million.
Cheers, Owen. Have a great weekend.
We'll take a quick break.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
This is News Talk.